This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin. Davey's going. We're going to turn our attention to the Gulf of Mexico or the Gulf of America. It doesn't matter what you call it. The bottom line, the Gulf is in trouble. We've got global warming, and the Gulf is certainly getting warmer. And that is also causing sea level rise. We're seeing a lot more of it in the Gulf than other parts of the United States coastal areas. And there's more. The Rio Grande Delta is vanishing, as are barrier islands, fragile wetlands, and seagrass meadows. There is an alarming trend that is caused by human development, and this is putting the entire Gulf at risk. And to tell us more about that, we're joined by John B. Anderson, professor of oceanography emeritus at Rice University. His new book is Gulf Coast Demise, Climate Change, Conservation, and Saving the American Sea. And John Anderson, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
So you get a question mark at the end of Gulf Coast Demise. How much work is that question mark doing? Is it like Gulf Coast Demise? I don't know. It could be. Or is it, this is a question mark that should have been an exclamation mark?
Well, first of all, that I didn't put that there. The editorial board did.
That's what editors do.
Yeah. But I would, if I had my way, I would probably not have that question mark there. I think it's very clear that we are seeing demise of the Gulf Coast, and it's not a question.
That's exactly the answer I thought I was going to get, because, you make a case for it in the book that we have a Gulf Coast that is in crisis. And so what does that mean? When you say demise, when I say crisis, what does that mean? The water is not going to go away, right?
The water is not going away, but it's getting higher. In other words, sea level is rising, and it's rising at a very rapid. I mean, the rate of sea level rise has been accelerating for the past, several decades. It's as high now as it has been for the last 7,500 years. So the approach that we take is to look at, how coastal systems, all the deltas, barrier islands, estuaries, how they have responded to sea level rise for the last few thousand years relative to what's happening today. Because people always ask, well, how do you know this is not just, something that happens every few decades or few centuries? And I think what the geological record is telling us is that this is the first time in over 10,000 years that we've experienced this rate of erosion along our coast.
So the erosion is caused by multiple things, I guess. We have the sea level rise and also the lack of replacement of sediment from our now, weakened deltas.
Correct. I mean, the Gulf Coast is made up of a myriad of coastal environments. And so, in the old days, we used to just take simple maps, topographic maps, raise sea level 1 foot and say, okay, well, this is how much land will be inundated. We now know that different coastal environments respond very differently to sea level rise. And so a lot of, deltas and wetlands are especially vulnerable. Coastal barriers are vulnerable, but in a different way. That barrier sand supply can kind of offset the effect of sea level rise. So it's kind of complicated. You have to look at these different systems, and you can model it all you want, but in the end, you need to look at how they responded in the past to really understand how they're responding today and how they will respond in the future.
Well, in the past, are we talking, thousands of years ago, and a lot of these people who defend or deny climate change are just saying we're going through these cycles again, and this is just what the planet does.
That's definitely not the case. And again, that's what we're saying. The geological record is showing that for the last 10,000 years, and sea level has been decelerating. It's been slowing down, the rate of rise. For the last 3,000 to 4,000 years, it's been moving at a negligible rate. And so what's happened now is the rate has accelerated rapidly within a century. And so a lot of coastal systems are just not keeping pace with that rate of rise.
So the AMOC, which is the global conveyor belt of the moving warm water down and cold water across the planet, that's been weakened about, and there's some concern that it could weaken much more and maybe even collapse. What would that do to the Gulf of Mexico or Gulf of America? Sorry, into the Gulf.
Well, that's first of all, that gets sort of outside my area of expertise.
Okay.
Although I'm a professor of oceanography, I mean that's a rather complicated sort of deep ocean circulation or open ocean circulation phenomenon. What we're looking at here in the case of sea level rise is an acceleration in the rate of melting of land glaciers. 80% of the land glaciers on Earth are retreating today, and they're doing so rapidly. The ice sheets, Greenland in particular, is showing accelerated rates of deglaciation. Antarctica is starting to show clear signs of deglaciation. And the ocean is being heated. And so you heat water, it expands. And if we look at temperature records from the Gulf of Mexico for the last, they go back 100 years, we've been collecting data in the Gulf. It has risen, the temperatures have risen pretty significantly during that time. And if you take the actual temperature increase and you calculate from that the expansion of the oceans, you come up with exactly the rate of rise. So, you know, or one-third of it at least, and that's not counting the ice sheet and glacier contributions. So we know the rate of sea level rise is accelerating. We also know where that water is coming from. Now we're starting to recognize that fresh water on land is being shifted, we're starting to lose fresh water from land, lakes, rivers, into the oceans. And that's a fairly recent observation, but it's also an important one.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We'll continue talking about the book, Gulf Coast Demise, Climate Change, Conservation, and Saving the American Sea, the author, John B. Anderson. You can call in with the questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues right after this.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Hi, this is Ashley Alvarado, President and CEO of Texas Public Radio. Here in South Central Texas, we know the power of community. We show up and stand strong together. That's why we've created TPR's Resiliency Fund, to protect the future of independent journalism, classical music, and meaningful conversations that connect us. And right now, your donation has double the impact. Every dollar you contribute is matched by Texas Cavaliers Charitable Foundation. That match also benefits the incredible work of Camp Camp, a Kerrville nonprofit enriching the lives of people with disabilities. With our resiliency drive, we met the moment. Now, let's build the future. Donate today at tpr.org/resiliency.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. John B. Anderson, he is an oceanographer. He is emeritus from Rice University. His new book is Gulf Coast Demise? Climate Change, Conservation, and the Saving the American Sea. So John, do you call it Gulf of America, Gulf of Texas, does it Gulf of Mexico? What do you call that?
I still call it Gulf of Mexico because that's what the scientific community calls it.
Yeah, I know. So I don't want to get political about it. You know, we call the Rio Grande. Mexico calls it the Rio Bravo. You can call things different things. Although it does make things weird at times. It is just the Gulf, and it is and the sea animals and the grass, seagrass. They don't pay attention to that stuff.
They don't care.
They care about how warm it's getting for them.
That's correct.
So is it getting too warm? Is this changing the ecology of the Gulf?
There's certainly that impact. And corals, for example, seagrasses. So, yeah, there is the direct impact of the oceans just getting warmer. But there's also other facts. One has to do with hurricanes. As you warm the oceans, there's more evaporation, more moisture is going into the air. So you get bigger, stronger, and wetter storms that result when the Gulf is getting warmer. And so there's quite a, in fact, it's kind of frightening nowadays when you look at the rate at which intensification is occurring as storms move into the Gulf, and they're 50 miles or 40 miles offshore, and then they start to intensify from a category 2 or 3 up to a category 4 or 5 within a matter of a few hours. That all kind of equates back to the higher temperatures in the Gulf.
What about the slosh from these storms? The amount of water that goes inland, is that also rising as well?
Storm tides are somewhat different because they depend a lot on the geography of the area being impacted, the angle of storm approach, and so it's the more unpredictable. The American Weather Service has gotten very good at predicting where a storm's going to come ashore and whether it's going to be a category 3 or 4 or 5. But there's still, we're still not quite at the point of being able to make really accurate predictions about what the storm tides will be. And there's a good reason for that, again, because we don't know how that storm's going to, change in terms of its path and its rate of movement into the Gulf. So that'll get improved with new satellites, but it's the least known at this point.
But that impacts human development.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, of course, sea level rise and storm surge are very much related. As you raise sea level, then the threat of inundation from any category of storm is increasing.
How is this impacting estuaries, and why is that so important?
Well, if you look at the estuaries from, up and down from Tampa Bay all the way to, Corpus Christi, these large estuaries, they're the ultimate, sort of nutrient grounds for the estuaries, and particularly for the Gulf, rather. But within the estuaries, they have these large they actually have their own deltas. They're called bayhead deltas. And those bayhead deltas form where rivers flow into the Gulf, like the Nueces bayhead delta in Corpus Christi Bay, for example. But those bayhead deltas are, for the most part, they're only about a foot above sea level. And so we're predicting a rate of rise of 1 foot by the year 2050. That's 30 years. Those deltas will be inundated. But it's not just simple, kind of bathtub models that we're using. Ultimately, when these deltas become inundated and flooded, depends on how fast they're able to grow upwards by producing new organic material to combat sea level rise. And right now, they're losing that battle. People ask me all the time, well, why should we worry about 1 or 2 millimeters of sea level rise? But the reality is that the battle between survival of wetlands and sea level rise is fought at millimeter scale, a few millimeters. And when you tip that scale, which is happening now with accelerated sea level rise, unless you increase sediment supply, and that's not happening today. If anything, it's being reduced because of dams and other actions. You've created a situation where those deltas are having a hard time. Now, they are the nursery grounds for the estuaries. And that's where a lot of the nutrients are produced. They're big carbon sinks. And if you look at what these estuaries will look like 50 years from now, and there are maps available, NOAA has published a series of maps on their website that shows what the Gulf will look like with a 1 foot sea level rise. And a lot of those deltas are gone.
Every summer we get the big dead zone in the middle of the Gulf of the Gulf. And so yes. what do we make of that big dead zone?
Well, that has to do with the amount of, that has to do somewhat with the temperature of the water. So as the water gets warmer, it creates a worse problem in terms of these organic materials being decomposed. So what's happening currently is that the Gulf is getting warmer. The nutrients that are incoming from agriculture, from other sources, that has been increasing And ultimately, that means that you're going to get more breakdown of these organic materials that are moving offshore out of the river mouths, like the Mississippi. And that consumes oxygen, and this oxygen that's needed for marine organisms. So that creates what's called an oxygen depletion zone. And these are getting worse, too. And again, that's largely because the temperatures are getting warmer.
So when you say demise, are we looking at some sort of collapse? Or what does demise look like?
Well, okay, so people who do, you know, sort of climate change research talk a lot about tipping points. That's where you cross a threshold that's more or less irreversible. And so demise would be a situation where the tipping points, cross over, and you're not able to actually return back to the original situation. So that's what I mean by demise. And if you want to sort of interpret that literally and say, well, that means that we're crossing a lot of tipping points. Those tipping points are the rate of sediment supply to wetlands has decreased to the point where it's not keeping up with sea level rise. The temperature of the water has reached the point where organics coming in from rivers not being decomposed. So there's a whole lot of things. Barrier islands. For barrier islands, they can combat sea level rise and have in the past. The barrier islands of the Gulf Coast, all of them, have a history that goes back several thousand years of growth, just as the Mississippi Delta was growing throughout most of its history. It's only been in historical time that we had this reversal. And you can kind of think of that reversal as crossing tipping points. So barrier islands along the Texas coast, for example, the sand supply to our barrier islands has diminished over time. That's a sort of a natural phenomenon. And we would have probably not been as bad off had it not been for sea level accelerating.
Let me slip in a caller here. We have Frank on the line. And, Frank, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question for John Anderson.
I was interested with the population growth along the coastlines. We're sucking all the water and oil and gas and such out of the ground. What effect is there and what options do we have? Would that raise the... If we pump water back in the ground, would that raise the land back up? Or what's going on with that aspect?
All right, Frank, thank you for that question. So we see cities along the Gulf Coast sinking a bit. Can they be put back up? What's happening there?
Yeah, they're actually sinking a lot. I mean, the area close to where I live here in Houston, the ship, you know, the upper part of Galveston Bay, it sank, 7.5 feet, if I can use feet, within a matter of a few decades back in the 50s due to excessive groundwater and oil and gas extraction. And they recognized that that was happening, and so they passed laws that said you can't extract groundwater for industrial purposes. So then people began to look at it and say, well, can we pump that water back down and recover that land? And that's a bit more complicated. It's not quite as simple as you pump it out, land goes down, you pump
not
it
a balloon.
Back, land goes down. Yeah, because once those aquifers, those sediments that contain that water have collapsed and lost their pore spaces, to regain that is not a simple thing. So taking water out of the ground, out of an aquifer, It will definitely result in some compaction.
So, John, we're almost out of time here. If you give me like a 45-second summary, what do we got going on here? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, if we don't change the way we're doing things, our children and grandchildren are going to be faced with some real, bad situations to deal with. The problem we have, and in my last chapter of my book, I actually talk about sort of solutions or why the problems exist. And one of the big problems we have is that the state agencies that are in control of our coast, like the General Land Office, are not getting enough scientific input from the scientific community.
All right. Well, John, thank you so much. The book is Gulf Coast Demise, Climate Change Conservation, and Saving the American Sea. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.